I hope you're ready for episode 3. My name is Lena. Welcome to Morning Minutes. We are in a series called Focused, a study of Colossians. And today we are in Colossians 1, 6 through 8. I've called today's teaching The Power of the Christian Message. I'll read the verses and I'll kind of hit up three application points. So I hope you are awake and ready for God's word. Here we go. I'll read part of verse 5 first. It says this. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And isn't it fun to do this teaching? Because just three verses. You're like, what can you say about these three verses? What's really happening here? Remember our context. Paul's in prison and he's writing to the church at Colossae that were a good church overall, but had some false teaching seeping into the ranks. And it was essential that the focus be back on Jesus and his preeminence. But as Paul is building up to that, he's just commending the church. He starts by thanking God for them and talks about what the faith is. And now the power of the Christian message. You're going to see the Christian message is not like any other message, and you're going to see how it impacts so much. And so point number one, the Christian message is powerful because it has not changed. It has not changed and it does not change. It has always been the case, by the way, all from beginning Genesis chapter 1 until Revelation 22, I want to say, 22, that's correct. You'll see the same message that God loves us so much that he knew when Adam and Eve sinned and sin came into the world, the plan from back in Genesis was to send Jesus. God became man, incarnated, was born of a Virgin Mary. And all through the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the Messiah. And then Jesus is born in Matthew. And all through the New Testament, we look at the life of Jesus. And then, of course, Jesus dies and risen again. And all of it the story has not changed. People in the Old Testament put their faith in a future coming of the Messiah. People in the time of Jesus believed in him. And then us, we are post AD, you know, post Jesus coming. We believe that he has come and he's risen from the dead. And the gospel, by the way, is not exclusive in its reach. And so in these verses, Paul reminds them that the gospel has come to you indeed as in the whole world. And this is huge, this thought, because in the Old Testament, one of the distinctives is that God had called the people of Israel. And so they were his chosen people. And there are ample examples of the Old Testament of outsiders that wanted to be part of God's program and came. You think of people like Ruth, you think of people like Rahab, and on and on. There were others who the Gibeonites once came and wanted to be part of what God was doing. You see that pattern, but by and large, it was a Jewish, you know, Israel, you know, Jewish chosen people that were the called ones. And then Jesus came and everything changed and it stopped being this ethnically, bound religion. It really stopped being a religion at all. It became a matter of knowing and following Jesus. And the invitation was open for everybody to do that. And so here, this church made up of Gentiles and Jews could have community. And because the gospel was available to all of them, to whoever came, whether you were from was the same country or different countries, or the same race or different race, men, women, slave, free. I mean, the gospel became transcendent of ethnicity, geography, culture, political boundaries. This was not about a specific country. This is why people now harp on this so much. People who believe the truth of the gospel talk about how there are no boundaries to the gospel. Wherever you are listening to my voice, the gospel can be yours in Christ if you just receive him. And the gospel does not change with time. It is not exclusive in its reach. It's open to everybody. That is why it is so powerful, and does not change. And then number two, the Christian message is powerful because it always bears fruit. And Paul says that it is bearing fruit and increasing. And listen, God's word is never void. You know, the verses in Peter, he talks about how the grass, the flowers fade and the grass withers. But the word of God remains forever, and it doesn't change, and it always bears fruit. And that is one of the distinctives of the Christian message, is that you'll see fruit unto salvation. You'll see fruits of life changed because of grace We are a new creation in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it talks about that. Like, there are signs of that you're a Christian by the way that you live. And we're going to see again as we move into Colossians, what are some of those signs that are a result of being changed by Jesus Christ. And wherever the gospel is preached, the church will grow. So wherever the gospel is preached, it bears fruit unto salvation. Lives are changed and the church will grow. And they were seeing that in the early church, that the church was growing. And yeah, there were problems, but it was still growing. And so this is awesome. This is the power of the Christian message. It does not change. It always bears fruit. And then number three, the Christian message is powerful because of its impact on lives. And the highlighted life here, of course, is Epaphras, who was a beloved fellow servant. He's the one who started this church. And of course, his life was radically transformed. And so he was impacting many others. He's a faithful minister on the behalf of the people, no longer living for himself, but living unto Christ on behalf of others. God's word will always keep us hungry for more and keep us working for more fruit, more lives impacted, more glory to Christ. And so if you want to know, man, does the Christian message change people? I'll tell you what, it's surely changed me and it continues to change me. And I think that is the awesome truth of the Christian message. And so we see that in the church in Colossae. And we see, of course, Paul's life had radically changed. Epaphras was changed. And I pray and hope that yours is changing too. Hey, isn't it an awesome thing to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ? I hope you know him, and I hope you'll have a great day, and I'll catch you again tomorrow.